Well, welcome back, everybody. It is the 12th. Is it the 12th? Yeah, the 12th of March. It is 7:13 p.m. Actually, is it 7? Yeah, 7:13 p.m. And here on the east coast of Florida, and the temperature is 70 degrees, nice outside. Just riding back from Union County. I was at the REC meeting tonight, so just thinking about something here, and just thought I would expound a little bit on it. And thinking about salvation. For those of you out there who are believers in Christ, those who are Christians who know that their Savior is Christ and they're secure and they've been saved, I want to talk about the word saved. You know, we hear that all the time. Are you saved? I've seen pictures, you know, and people would have billboards, you know, are you saved? Or you must be saved. You must be born again, saved. Well, we know what born again means, but when we say the word saved, when someone says, oh, I'm saved, what are we talking about? Are we saved from? It's not death, because we all die. So when we say we're saved, what are we talking about? What are we saying about us that is saved? Are we saved from hellfire? Well, that's true. I mean, if you're saved, you're saved from hell, that's for sure. But what are you saved? What are we saved from? It's not death. So let's just talk about the whole concept of being saved. Okay. Now, when Christ died on the cross, he died because he was the supreme sacrifice. Now, he didn't plan that out. He just knew that was going to happen. And so he died for us. And I'm not really sure. I've never really understood why God had to make someone die or something die or the bloodshed so that we could be forgiven. I mean, to me, it just seems like if God is all-powerful and all-knowing and omniscient and omnipotent, he could just simply say it, you know. And then, of course, I've always wondered other things like, you know, why would he even create Satan if he knew he was going to do the things that he did? But that's for a whole nother podcast. This is just about Satan. So when we talk about being saved, we know that it's not the physical body. So what is it that gets saved? Because if my physical body dies and I'm saved, but then someone who's not saved, someone who rejects the free gift of salvation from Christ, you know, who dies in their sin, so to speak, who dies without the salvation, the saved part, if they're going to die too, and I'm going to die physically, then what part of us is saved? And if mine is saved, what happens to theirs? Okay, I'm trying to make a point here. And when I do, you're going to go, aha. Think about it like this. We live forever because we're saved. We don't live in this body forever because we know this body is going to die. No matter if we're saved or if we die in our sins, we are going to live forever. But what part of us is going to live forever? Our consciousness, our soul, our spirit. You know, I like to think that our soul and our spirit are one thing. Now, I've heard people say, well, your soul is your consciousness, your emotions, your feelings, and your spirit is something totally different. Well, I'm not going to argue over, you know, soul and spirit. My personal feeling is the soul and the spirit are one and the same. And the spirit is what is inside of me. I always think about it like this. And I heard this example. I can't accept the responsibility of coming up with this on my own because I didn't. But I heard it said one time that if you think of a glove, like a just a regular glove that people put on their hands. If you think of the glove itself as your body, okay, when the glove is just laying there on the table or in the glove compartment or wherever it is, it's just laying there. It has no life to it until you put your hand in it. Now, when you put your hand in it, the glove comes to life. But it's really not the glove that comes to life because a glove is lifeless. What is inside is life. That's your hand. That's your hand. Your hand is the spirit. Your hand is your spirit, and the glove is your body. And so that's a really, really good analogy or word picture, really, that kind of helps you understand the dichotomy of the soul or the spirit and the body. So once again, what dies? We know the body dies. So what is it that lives forever? It's the spirit that lives forever. Okay, our spirit lives forever. So what about those who die without Christ? What happens to their spirit? Wait, hold on. We talked about living forever, and Jesus even said, for those who believe in me have life eternal. Well, you know, it's inferred that if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, that you don't have life eternal. So what is the life eternal that he's talking about? Well, it's a death. But what is it that dies? Okay. The spirit's the only thing left to die, right? So if we live forever in our spirit because we chose Christ, then those who reject Christ will die because they don't get to live forever. So I challenge people who say, well, you reject Christ, you die without the blood of Christ on you, or the salvation, the free gift of salvation that Christ gave you. If you die without that, then you go to a burning fire, a hellfire, where you're punished for all of eternity. Well, I would venture to say, or I would challenge them by saying, but if they live forever in hell being suffered, or suffering, being tormented for all of eternity, then aren't they living forever? Now, I've heard people say, well, no, they're not really living. They're dead, but they're dying forever. I don't think so, because death is death. Living is living. Death is death. And if they're living to be tortured for all of eternity, then Christ is a liar, because he said, those who believe in me have life eternal. So I believe, now this leads me to this. This is where the saved thing comes in. I believe those people are what Revelation talks about as those who experience the second death. Whoa, hold on. Second death is a second time to die. What else is there left to die? You've got the physical body. You've got the spiritual body. If the physical body dies, because that's just the way it is, our physical bodies will die, then what's left to die? I mean, the Bible says this is, the angel, in fact, in Revelation says, woe be unto those who experience the second death. I mean, that's a second death. That's a death. That's dying. Death is everything. There's no way you can extrapolate there's anything different than dying than death and what death is. And so when he says, woe be unto those who experience the second death, that is during the time when everyone is judged who did not accept Christ and his personal gift of salvation. So these people are cast into the lake of fire where they experience the second death. So they're annihilated. Now, I know that a lot of people say, well, that's annihilism and that's not biblical. Well, it is. It says so. It says so in the Revelation. It's very clear. They experience the second death. That's it. The second death. So what is being saved? I'm saved because I've accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've accepted his free gift of salvation because I'm saved. But what if part of me is saved? My spirit is saved because my physical man's going to die. There's no way. There's no way I can get away with not dying unless, of course, the rapture comes along and then I'm raptured and I'm changed in twinkling of an eye. Okay, so when the spirit man dies, that is the death that people talk about, or that is spoken, that is written about in Revelation, is the spirit death. So when someone says I'm saved, then you'll know exactly what they're talking about. That's just my take on it. You might have a different take, and that's fine. I wish there was some way we could share ideas here, but we can't. But that's my podcast for today, guys. Thanks a lot for listening, and God bless you.